Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff, with your host, Joe Montone. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Our program, Clear for Takeoff, my friends, as you know, starts off with a checklist, so let us begin right now. Number one, do you have a heart for God? Check. Do you have time for God? Check. Are your Bibles open? Check. Are you distraction-free? Check. Well, my friends, at this point, we are clear for takeoff to enter into the Word of God as we prepare for the 28th week in ordinary time. So let's get to it. Our first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. And here it is. I prayed, and prudence was given me. I pleaded, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her to scepter and throne, and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her. Nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold in view of her is a little sand, and before her silver is to be accounted mire. Beyond health and comeliness, I loved her. I chose to have her rather than the light, because the splendor of her never yields to sleep. Yet all good things together came to me in her company, and countless riches at her hands. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my friends, in the Book of Wisdom today, the Lord is showing us the great value of wisdom itself. And this is so important. And the word says that the spirit of wisdom came to me, and I preferred wisdom to scepter and throne. Riches is nothing in comparison to wisdom. So what is the value, my friends, of wisdom in our lives today? Imagine having no wisdom, never learning from the past mistakes. This is important. What does it mean to you to have wisdom? And if we go back in time, do you remember some of the mistakes that you and I have made in our lives? And we can't change the past. We can't undo those mistakes, but we can learn from them. And we can move forward, my friends, to really live a better life. And so God's talking to us today about wisdom. And today we have wisdom. And the first step to wisdom in the Book of Psalms is the fear of the Lord. So it all begins with the great reverence and fear for our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Book of Psalms tells us. This is why it's so important to learn each and every day from our mistakes and from other people's mistakes. God calls us to have wisdom, to pray for wisdom with a strong faith, a firm faith, if we don't have wisdom. And this is important. Because as we prepare for each day, we want to go about our day doing the right thing and not the wrong thing. We don't want to repeat the past. We want to learn from it. And this is often the case with some of the people that we see in prison and in recovery. We see people repeating the past and basically, suffering the consequences. So God calls us to make great decisions through wisdom and through pure wisdom, learning from, God as we go along the way, learning through His Word, using His Word as the source of decision making. Where in the past I did what I wanted to do, you and I both did what we wanted to do, and God calls us to incorporate the Word of God as the great source of decision making as we go forward each and every day. And we can look back, my friends, on the year and look back at those decisions that we made. Were they good ones? Did we repeat the past a second time, a third time, or did we learn from it and take the right road this time? Very important. We want to avoid the past mistakes. And this is a great message today in the Book of Wisdom. But he makes the comparison about gold and silver and scepter and throne versus having wisdom. The value of wisdom is much greater than gold and silver, a scepter, or seated on a throne. God calls us to have wisdom, to understand the value of wisdom, so that we can, pass this on to our children, help them to avoid the mistakes that you and I may have made. But not only our children, but everyone, to provide great mentorship and spiritual logic, so that we're learning how to use God's Word as a great source of decision making and making the best choices each and every day that we can. I'd like to go into our second reading now, which is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, indeed the Word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from Him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must render an account. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Hebrews, my friends, today, St. Paul gives us a tremendous word. And we're talking about the Word of God, which today we see is rejected by many, avoided by many. Many have an aversion to the Word of God, don't want to hear it, don't want to talk about it, and don't want to listen to what God says to do and not to do. And the question is, why is there this aversion to God? And the answer is that people themselves want to be God. They want to be in command of everything, including life itself, the production of life. They don't want to have to answer to what God says to do and not to do. And we see it today, my friends, where there are hundreds of millions of people around the world who want nothing to do with God, nothing to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's up to you and I to set the record straight, to do the very best that we can in the midst of the turmoil and trouble and aversion to God, the rejection of God, to give the very best that we can as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. It's powerful, and God calls us to do it. And so we must incorporate the Word of God into family life, into community service, into the workplace, into daily life. We must incorporate God's Word whenever we can through good people, and every word counts. And God calls us again, to listen to His Word. So as we review it once again, St. Paul, the great message that he gives us today about the Word of God and how important it is to listen to it. And he says this again, "Indeed, the Word of God is living and effective, sharper than two-edged sword, penetrating even between the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from the Word of God, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must render an account." And this is powerful because we know that the Word of God has been planted in us and is able to save our souls. We know that Jesus is the Word of God. And so no one can escape the Word of God, my friends. Regardless of what we see on the news, regardless of what we hear, regardless of what's happening in our schools today, and there is a tremendous amount of evidence that people are, you know, averse to the Word of God, listening to what God says to do and not to do. But you and I have opportunity each and every day, my friends, to do what we can to bring the Word of God in a great way, with great love and great sincerity and honesty and accountability. And the Word of God is powerful. Again, it's powerful, more powerful than any two-edged sword, and it can penetrate souls and spirit. This is important. How often do you and I deliver the Word of God into the hearts and minds of other people? Or are we afraid to do so? Are we fearful to just, you know, say God bless you when someone sneezes? Are we fearful to say a blessing at the family meal, in a home or in a restaurant? Do we have reluctancy? Are we reluctant to go forward and offer that beautiful prayer of thanksgiving before a meal, incorporating the Word of God? And God tells us many times, do not be afraid. And remember, God is with us always, and He knows our challenges. And although they are real in our daily walk, we are called, my friends, to step up to the plate and to give the very best witness that we can do. And this is important. And once again, the Word of God has been planted in our hearts and is able to save our souls. And the Word of God is a powerful tool that we can use to touch hearts, to change minds. And in the recovery world, we see a lot of success in reentry and recovery because people are open and exposed to the Word of God. We've seen it in the WINGS program many times, where people have been changed and their hearts have been softened and they want more. They're hungry for the Word of God. People are hungry for it. And hence, we have opportunities each and every day to deliver that word, and God calls us to do it. And just to refresh our memory here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, no creature is concealed from Him, which is the Word of God, but everything is naked and exposed in the eyes of Him to whom we render an account. And God hears every word that we say. He knows it all. So it's important that we stay, you know, disciplined and utilize the Word of God whenever we can, and not go off on tangents, but deliver the Word and make that the core of our conversation whenever we can, to really help people to find the best way through life. God calls us to do that, my friends. And, you know, in Jeremiah 1:5, He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet." And we're all prophets in a way, where we're called to speak out, called to deliver the love of God, the peace of God, through the Word of God. And once again, Jesus is the Word of God. It's powerful. And we have access to our Lord through the Word. And the closer we get, the more we want of the Word of God. It's just an amazing journey as we, you know, take that walk with our Lord through the Word, one piece of Scripture at a time. And Our Lady says this with regard to the Word of God at many of the apparition sites. She wants us to live out the Scriptures. One or two Scriptures each and every day. Our Blessed Mother calls us to live out the Scriptures. So as we share the Word, we want to be living examples, role models of the Word themselves, and not just hypocrites, but doing the opposite and telling people, you know, what the Word says. But we want to come through 100%. And this is important, my friends. And God calls us to be great warriors for the Word. In a world where the Word is rejected, avoided, has been eliminated, it's up to you and I to do what we can to bring the Word of God into the hearts and minds of other people, wherever we can, in our school classroom, in meetings, at our family dinner table, in relationships with family and friends, co-workers, wherever we can, my friends. And God will bless you for it, for stepping up to the plate and being a witness like never before. So I encourage you this week to take ownership of God's Word and to deliver it with love and compassion and zeal and enthusiasm, and to be a great witness ultimately for our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. Let's move on now, my friends, to the gospel reading, which is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 30. And here it is. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad. And he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in the present age: houses and brothers, and sisters and mothers and children, and lands with persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Mark today, my friends, the Lord is telling us many things. Number one, he uses the term good teacher. And the apostle said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And we know from our past readings, my friends, that the thing we call eternity or eternal life can only be given to us through belief in Jesus Christ and obedience to what God tells us to do and not to do. And here in the Word, he talks heavily about you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother. He tells us what not to do and what to do in the commandments. And this is the challenge of a lifetime for all of us. No one is exempt, my friends, because we are all vulnerable to temptation. But God calls us to uphold those statutes, those laws, those commandments that were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And he delivered them to the Egyptian people. But I tell you, we today are challenged because of jealousy and envy, selfishness and greed. We are challenged, my friends, all of us. It's up to us to make a decision, my friends, to come on board with what God tells us to do and not to do. This is very, very important. And the Lord tells us that no one is good but God alone. And in the Psalms, the book of Psalms, the Lord says to us, the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. So although the Lord points out that only the Father is truly good, we are called to be good men. It is an order from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something we can choose not to do. It's something that we must comply with. And, you know, if we make a mistake and go astray, we have to come back to the fold, like the prodigal son. Okay, and we have to do it. God calls us to do it. He says the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. And when the Lord Jesus Christ gives us an order, we want to comply. We want to put a smile on his face. We want to, you know, bring peace to our Lord and not turmoil, not trouble. And God calls us to be a good man, not a bad man, entering into some of those decisions that he points out for us not to do. This is important. And sometimes people will enter into those decisions and they will make an argument for why they're doing it, whether it be adultery or stealing or anything else in the commandments. But God calls us to be clear and to be good men, to become obedient to what he says to do and not to do. And obedience and belief in God is the way to get to heaven. But God asked also for more, to give up what you have, sell it, and give the money to the poor. He wants a generous heart. God loves a generous giver. And this is important. Once again, he talks about the rich man. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. So as we obtain success and wealth, money, power, prestige, it feels pretty good. And God becomes lower and lower on the list of priorities each and every day. And that's not what God wants. When we're blessed with wealth, and wealth comes with many forms, but in truly, when we talk about homes and land and money, God's calling us to remember that, you know, God giveth and God can take it away. But he calls us to share with other people, just as he calls us to love one another or to love your neighbor as yourself. God calls us to stay in balance, where we don't worship the money or the homes or the land or the airplanes or the cars. We don't worship the wrong things, but we are worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is watching each and every day and how that works. And there's a fine line there, and God can see it. If we get too close to the money, if we get sucked into that lifestyle of the rich and famous, so to speak, where God is no longer part of the equation, we've given up on him. He's less than 1 hour a week. Maybe we now avoid him. He's been eliminated from our agenda for the day or the week. God calls us to embrace him and to, you know, love him with all our hearts, our minds, our soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is important. So when we find success, because God has blessed us with it, we have to remember that God, once again, has given it, but he can take it away. He wants us to be part of it. This is a great message in the book of Mark today, coming from chapter 10. But I tell you, in our prison program, we have seen tremendous evidence of people engaging in the wrong activities. And there are millions of men and women who are incarcerated or on probation or parole. It's up to you and I, my friends, to set the record straight and to be good role models, to be stable and credible, and to be good role models to our children and to our grandchildren, as well as other people we come in contact with. It's up to us, my friends, to represent the Lord with great zeal and enthusiasm, great power, but to do it in a way where people believe us, that we are doing it for the right reasons. And once again, my friends, if you're a man out there who's making changes in his life, and you are a victim of addiction or incarceration, God calls us to make changes. And so I want you to be reminded of this once again: the steps of a Lord, steps of a good man, is in order by the Lord, and he calls us to do it today. That's our show for today, my friends. I want to thank you for tuning in with us here at Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montoni, your host. May God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day, and God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.